get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and even though school's not out yet, it is never too soon to start thinking about what your kids will be doing over the summer months. We have some great ideas for camps, opportunities out there, and we're talking about why it's so important to keep them engaged this summer.
Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel, choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back.
You know, my son said to me the other day, Mom, do you know how many days are left until school's out? They are already counting down the days and looking forward to the summer. And we were just talking about how it's about 12 weeks of no school. And, you know, what are kids going to do? Some kids don't have much to do. And when you look at the effects of that, when they go back to school, it's a pretty big deal. We have a guest joining us today, Dr. Harlan Eagle, who wears many hats. He's the executive director of Horizons at the Salisbury School and the executive director of Camp Odyssey at the Salisbury School. And we just want to start off kind of talking about the summer slide and what that is and helping people understand that to know why it is important for their kids to be engaged over the summer. Welcome, Harlan.
Thank you. Great to be here. Now, the summer slide is not a ride at Six Flags.
Oh, well, there you go.
That would be a good one. What happens in the summer is all kids lose a little bit. And kids who come from low-income families, their loss is much greater because they don't have the opportunities that kids who come from middle and upper-income families have. So over years, it's a cumulative effect. And by the time these kids reach fifth grade, there's a three-year gap. So this is one of the research has shown that one of the major factors contributing to the achievement gap when these kids get to ninth grade, two-thirds of that is attributed to the summer slide. So summer is important.
When you say three-year gap, you mean by the time between middle and upper class students and lower income students, those lower income students have lost 3 years from the other kids?
That's what research Johns Hopkins did, a huge research study, and that was one of the findings.
That's huge.
So that's why it is so important that we work hard as a community to try to provide summer learning programs for kids from low-income families, mm-hmm. as well as making sure all kids have opportunities in the summer. I've been involved in summer for a long time, and if you start to count all the camps from zoo camp to Camp Odyssey to all the programs that we have out in the area, there's still loads and loads of kids who are not involved in summer. And Horizons, a program that I have the pleasure to run, is a summer learning program. It's academic, intensive academic for 6 weeks every summer, as well as cultural and social enrichment. The kids, it's a national program, and they begin with us as rising first graders, and they stay till they're rising ninth graders. So our goal is to follow them throughout their academic career and help them navigate all the way through high school graduation and beyond.
Let me just ask a hypothetical question, because if the statistics bear out what you're saying, why don't kids go to school year-round?
Okay, well, it's economics. That's the first answer. And the other thing the research is showing is they don't need the same all year long. Summer needs to be a little different. The thing, for example, with the Horizons program, it's a private-public partnership where the kids go to the campus of the Salisbury School for the summer. They're not taught by the Salisbury School teachers. They could be, but there's a whole group of teachers who are involved. And they're small groups. So summer needs to be different. That's the answer to the question. So there are school systems that have lengthened their school year. But what they're finding is summer needs to be different. A little bit more hands-on, smaller groups. And that's affordable in the summer, where at the moment it's not affordable for all public schools. Public schools, for example, Rochester, New York, the public school system is actually paying summer providers like Horizons and other summer learning providers to work with their kids because they have such a need. So it's a huge need.
Well, let's go back to this slide, though, for a minute. Is this more than forgetting your multiplication tables? Is this, you know, losing vocabulary?
That's all part of it, reading and math skills, mm-hmm. but also the effects on health. So many kids, when they're during the school year, they have free and reduced lunch. So there's meals provided, lunch and breakfast. A lot of these kids in the summer are not going to have that opportunity. And also, during the school year, you have gym class, recess. A lot of kids, because of safety and issues like that, they're not going to be leaving their house. So it might be TV.
Video games.
Or just a very unhealthy environment. So it's the health as well as the academics.
And when did this change? I mean, because we'll all say when we were growing up, school was over, you threw your book bag under your bed and you played outside all day, every day on your bike until September. So what happened? Do we know?
Well, that's a great question. But just thinking about the last 20 years, there's a lot more single parents. There's a lot more, safety issues are huge. Something, of course, maybe we didn't even realize, there's a whole group of people from low-income families that don't, when I went to summer camp, I didn't realize there were maybe hundreds of thousands of other kids in this country who weren't doing what I was doing.
Right.
So
it's a culturally different experience.
A huge thing, the awareness. So again, summer is exciting for maybe our kids, but it's probably terrifying for so many parents who don't speak English, mm-hmm. parents who have to work 24/7 or two jobs. So again, we need, as a community and as a country, we need to make summer count. And there's a national organization called the National, I'm going to look at it so I don't mess it up here. It's called National Summer Learning Association, summerlearning.org. And they are advocates for summer learning and working hard with school systems throughout the country to provide unique summer learning opportunities for our children. And also the American Camp Association, acacamps.org. Mm-hmm. There's lots of resources there advocating summer learning and activities and things that we can do. Because even in the general summer camps, they're encouraging reading, and some of the camps like Summer Scholars and Camp Odyssey, we do a lot of things with different parts of the brain, different types of learners.
They're not dissecting.
No, we're not dissecting that. We do have wacky science, though. So drama, dance, all those things, sports, and lots of social. The other thing about summer, which is so key, is it gives kids a chance to relax and be themselves in a setting with lots of new people. School, sometimes the peer groups and the cliques and everything, it's very hard for kids sometimes to be themselves. Camp is where I learned that it was okay to be me,
yeah,
and be zany.
But you do think, when you think about camp as something that you'd want your kids to participate in, if I'm not paying anything during the school year because my kids go to public school, and then all of a sudden I have to pay, I have, you know, two kids, well over probably $100 for many of the camps, it's all of a sudden, well, I can't afford that. Or maybe parents, some proactive parents are probably maybe saving up, but it's all of a sudden an expense that you didn't have during the school year. Maybe that's also why, right. You know, some of the parents just can't afford it.
Exactly. And I would encourage, I know with our camp, Camp Odyssey at the Salisbury School, we have a large scholarship program, so I'd encourage people to apply for that. Programs like Horizons, summer learning programs, those are provided at a small registration fee, and we have a board that raises the money for that program.
But there's other camps.
Yes, I know the YMCA. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the zoo would do that.
Yes, and I do think also that you can write off those expenses on your taxes if you itemize your taxes as an expense, as a childcare expense.
Yes, really? Yes, you can.
You can, yeah.
Yep, we give that information. Yeah.
Wow. We learn something new every day.
way.
Hemp all summer long.
Well, that is
try
a nice
all the
incentive.
Cans. Try
is,
all the cans.
You know, that is a nice incentive. But
okay,
yeah,
no, but really, I mean, so we're, you know, we're going to send kids to all these different camps. Does it, if there are so many options, does it make a difference if you go to zoo camp, if you go to Girl Scout camp, if you go to, or is it just the
how
actual,
pick,
like, stimulation?
How do you pick
well,
the right camp?
Okay, so first on the, it, kids who go, kids who are going to go to these camps are going to, they're going to learn and grow, whether it's social skills, it can be learning a new thing, learning, applying scientific principles. You get, you do things in camp. You do, you reflect, you learn. So the brain, that will grow the brain. That will help. Then the other part is how do you pick one? Mm. A lot of this is kid driven. Yeah. Well, if you can, well, the economy, what you can afford, and what your kids are interested. It seems to me a lot of us parents, and I, my kids are just a little bit older than some of yours, just a little bit. You know, if the, my child wants to do it, usually we figure out a way to do it. Yeah. And there are a lot of good choices here, from sports camps to full day camps to the summer scholar program to specialty camps like the zoo camp. And the information's out there on the website. You can call. Some of them have commercials. So,
but it also helps, too. I know that, you know, ACA accreditation, some of the camps have that accreditation, which it means they're pretty top-notch.
Absolutely. That means they're willing to rise to a set of standards and be evaluated on that. Mm-hmm. And I know we have that. I think the Extension 4-H is another program.
And so, we will have a list of local camps on our website at becauseisaidsoradio.com. So check that out. One thing, my experience is you want to check it out sooner rather than later, because a lot of the camps do fill up. And, yes. You know, procrastinating parents, which I'm in that category, we sometimes get closed out of the camp we want to get in. But I know that probably doesn't happen at Camp Odyssey, but maybe it does. And the thing I always liked about Camp Odyssey and some of these camps is you can buy per week. So,
absolutely.
You know, if you got a family vacation every July and you know, you can work around that, all that stuff, that's a good thing. And,
Harlan, we want to thank you.
Okay.
We're, like, out of time.
Oh.
I know.
You're warming up.
But, no, we thank you, you know, for the information on the summer slide and then, you know, picking camps. If anyone has any questions, I'm sure they could reach out
to
you.
Oh, yes, indeed.
You're very well known in the community.
SalisburyHorizons.org or CampOdyssey.org or call my cell phone.
Thanks, Harlan. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
Here's a quiz for you. If you can answer this simple question, I have a valuable reward. What's 2 + 2? If you answered 4 or anything close to that, you win. Your reward is listening to A Jar Full of Stories each Sunday at 6:30 right here on WSCL. I'm Rick Brown, host of the program, and I'll be telling stories anyway, so don't feel bad if your math skills are a little rusty. That's A Jar Full of Stories, Sunday evenings at 6:30.
You've definitely heard from this person before. Nancy Marasco joined us earlier to talk about Earth Day and the Green Book Awards, but she actually wears several hats because she's also the executive director of the Virginia Space Flight Academy, something that kids can go to in the summer. They get to stay overnight and launch rockets, right, Nancy?
Exactly, and a lot of other fun things they do as well. The Virginia Space Flight Academy is in Wallops Island, a NASA and U.S. Navy base. We also spend time and partner with Mars and with NOAA as well while we're down there. It's a residential co-ed camp for children 11 to 15. It's boys and girls with separate great air-conditioned new dorms.
Air-conditioned.
Absolutely.
Separate. I'm glad she said that, separate.
That's important. And the big question I get all the time is, yes, all of our counselors are background checked.
Oh, very good.
And needless to say, working at Wallops, you go through some pretty stringent tests because background security, because we are seeing some things that we don't even know that we're seeing that could be vital. But it's a wonderful camp. It started about 15 years ago. We have the parents drop off the kids on a Sunday afternoon, and they don't return until Friday at graduation. And during that time, and I really want to impress upon everybody that it is a summer camp, not summer school. Mm-hmm. So we do spend time in a classroom during the day, and we work software on the Lego Mindstorm robotics. Mm-hmm. We build three different kinds of rockets, and the kids all launch them. We learn a lot about payload and thrust and about the NASA space system mm-hmm. and what is done. It takes 10,000 people on the ground to support one astronaut. So what we are developing in the long run is our rocket scientists. As a matter of fact, one of our instructors this year went to the camp in 2005, and he's now at University of Maryland studying to be a rocket scientist.
I just got the chills. That is awesome.
Well, so again, such we're a huge... inspiring the next generation.
Yeah, there's such a huge STEM initiative in the schools today, and
absolutely.
That's why.
And this is just a wonderful program. You can go on our website and register. We do have some scholarships available. And we also offer day programs. We've done Girl Scout and Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, and they can earn badges for the day programs that we do as well.
Nancy, are there requirements for the camp? I mean, obviously not everyone is into a space camp. Are there certain requirements the students have to meet?
There are not. There just is a general theme that you like science and math, and we're hopeful that each year the enrollment for the girls increases a little bit, mm-hmm. Always hoping for that next female rocket scientist out there. That doesn't mean we're not happy to have all of our young boys as well, but it's no requirements, and we really want them to have fun.
Is it competitive, or is it just first come, first serve?
It is mostly first come, first serve on the registrations. It is, however, fairly competitive for the scholarships, which we offer at 50% and at 25%, and those are done by our partner businesses. We all have a partnership relationship down at NASA. Some of the contractors down there do support us by putting in scholarships.
So this is ages 11 to 14.
11 to 15.
11 to 15. Okay, now kind of take us through the week. What kinds of things are they going to be
with
visiting,
what are they doing?
Doing, yes.
The first day, the only thing we have a little trouble with is this age group is waking them up because breakfast is at 7 in the morning.
And so it's a little like boot camp.
Yeah, that part of it is. But they're excited with the fact that we actually eat at the NASA facility for breakfast and lunch. So they're sitting next to an astronaut. They may not know it because astronauts don't walk around the base in those spacesuits.
Too
but
bad.
They have that opportunity to
talk to them.
To talk to other people who might be there. And then in the morning, we separate the kids. The camp is 34 students per week, and we break them up in half. And then so the half does robotics in the morning, and the other half does rocketry, and then they switch after lunch. They're able to do a simulation where they fly across the country. Mm-hmm. They're also do a virtual rocket launch, mm-hmm. and they're watching Aegis being built at Wallops, which is an amazing thing since since we're not having any more of the shuttles going. They need supplies at the International Space Station. So this is the rocket ship that's going to bring the supplies.
What an opportunity. It's the Virginia Space Flight Academy, and we will put more information on our website, becauseisaidsoradio.com. Nancy, thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Attention moms, win a free one-hour massage from Essential Life Therapeutic Massage thanks to the moms from Because I Said So. Go to our Facebook page and share your Mother of the Month story. Get your friends to like it, and you could win. Find the rules for the contest on our website at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Good luck. And of course, listen to us Saturday afternoon at 2. You gotta feed the cat,
eat your breakfast, the experts tell us. Talking about summer camp, the summer slide, things to do with your kids over the summer. And we kind of just realized we didn't really get to share our own personal summer camp stories. So we want to do that because they're fun and funny and just, you know, reminisce, brings back memories. Chris, you said you were a camp counselor.
Yeah, I used to be a YMCA camp counselor at a camp that was up in Lockport, New York. It's actually on Lake Ontario. Okay. And it was a lot of fun, Camp Keenan. I had a great time. I did it every year in high school and every year in college. And if I could keep doing it, I would keep doing it because it was that much fun.
You didn't there. You didn't go there as a camper?
No, I never went there as a kid, but I loved being there. It was the best. It was the most fun place I've ever been. And
yeah.
The kids were a lot of fun. And I think that it should be required to be a camp counselor if you want to be a parent. Because
ooh.
At least you have a couple good songs.
Yeah.
You got a couple.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I didn't go to like a sleepaway camp. I guess I was blessed with a stay-at-home mom, so you know we stayed home for the summer. But I do remember going for during school a sleepover camp for a couple of days at this camp in Michigan where I grew up, and you know it was an interesting experience. Just that experience. I think I was in fifth grade, and being in a cabin with all of the girls, and there were panty raids where the boys would literally
seriously
yeah.
go around and take the girls' panties, and they would go up. They would go up on the
flagpole.
Yeah,
we went
snipe hunting.
We always went snipe hunting.
We had a talent show, and we all had to perform in front of the rest of the camp. It was an interesting experience. It stuck with me definitely.
Well, my favorite camp was Camp Henry Kaufman Girl Scout Camp in Western Pennsylvania. And I don't know how many years I went, but it was a, you know, Girl Scout sleepover camp. Those were the best weeks of my life. Yeah, I mean, the snipe hunting and the cooking over the fire and the living in tents and, you know.
The flip side is my sister went to a sleepaway camp, and every day we would get a postcard from her crying, please pick me up. I think she got scarred from that. So now maybe... You know, that's a good question for you, Harlan. What's the right age for a sleepover camp? And maybe not everybody is cut out for that.
There's the answer.
Yeah, not everyone's cut out for sleepaway camp.
Not everyone is cut out for that. But yeah, I think it's worth trying. You try. My middle child didn't have a great sleepaway experience. Neither did my brother. But myself, I've been in camp since I was 4 years old, where I stood on an archery target. I have a picture with an apple on my head, and I think they shot it off. But that began my whole Dr. Zaney career. So I've been going to camp since I'll be 50 this year. So I think I missed five summers.
The truth is, you never really grew up, which is why you still like doing camp.
Well, that's be childlike, not childish. That's one of the best quotes about camp. That I ever heard. It came from a camp counselor, so that's so important.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember going to any camps as a kid, to be honest. But I have tried to, you know, make that a different experience for my kids. We do one of our favorites. Well, my kids do a lot of camps. They do sports camps. We do the summer scholars. We've done zoo camp. A lot of fun. But we do ant camp, which I love, my kids love. My sister lives in North Carolina, and she has three boys. So I take her boys for a week, and she gets the week off. And then she'll take my kids for a week, so I get the week off. And I think the best part of that is the bonding that has happened
of
the cousins.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see each other that often. But when I have them, too, it also puts me on my game. I have to provide activities. They're all different age levels, and I have to keep them busy. So I really have to prep and plan and know what we're going to do while they're there.
But the other best part about that is maybe the week you get off then, too.
Definitely.
Well, it's a bonus, right?
That's what I'm saying is it's great about being a camp counselor. If you ever get a chance to do it, is you have a toolbox of, you know, activities and songs and games and things. You've got them all ready. You can remember and whip them out when they're 10 and they don't have anything to do.
Your son is so lucky, Chris.
But ant camp, what a great idea.
I like it.
And how long have you been doing it?
We've been doing it for, this will be our fourth summer. So my daughter is 8, and she went away, and I was a little nervous that she, you know, wouldn't want to stay, but they wanted to stay for an additional week. And because they're experiencing something with a family, it's not just
it's
at
not
camp,
so scary.
They do things that I never would have done. My sister and I are very different, so they're more adventurous when they're with her. They, you know, get to experience new things.
And creating memories that last a lifetime, and that's what that's all about.
Two summers ago, I sent my son and my daughter for 4 weeks to go spend with my mother, my sister, and her kids, and they took a sort of a road trip out west. I live out in Phoenix, so they went California, Washington. They had a fantastic time, but people looked at me like I was crazy that I got rid of my kids for 4 weeks. And you know, it didn't really occur to me that it was like that because I'm sending them to family. And I thought, what an incredible experience for them.
And they had a great time.
They did have a great time. They still talk about it.
Something interesting when I was going away to camp back in the 70s. The parents, parents were okay with letting their kids go. Mm-hmm. Today, parents are very nervous about that, generally speaking.
Those helicopter parents.
Talk
about that.
And one thing nice about camp, going away to sleepaway camp compared to day camp, is a lot of the camps are cell phone free. you put everything away. You can't communicate like that. You have to communicate with letters, writing.
It's like rehab.
And and I think it's my friends are in that the sleepaway camp business. It's much. They're always. They have lots of websites and they're sending the parents pictures, but the kids are not. They're not able to talk to the kids. So it's a real nice growing. That's how you grow and learn.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
I've been able to get along with lots of people over. You know, my career, I think a lot of that goes back to going to sleepaway camp back in the
sink
day.
Sink or swim.
Yeah. And you have to work, live in close quarters with lots of people, lots of different personalities.
Get along, yeah.
And that's back to being a camp counselor. You learn to how to make the magic happen with a whole variety of people. And in our camp case, it changes every week. So they have to be ready every Monday for a new dynamic. And the group
Game
dynamic
on,
changes
yeah.
every week.
Yeah. They're gold, those camp counselors. They really are, because they do help kids make memories. Yeah. At the end of our shows, we like to share our Mother of the Month stories. So, Harlan, you can sit and listen and laugh and make fun of us.
Yeah. Maybe you have one. You might have one. Parent of the Month story.
But I think we have one that we need to update you on, Jackie.
Right. Well, I don't know that we ever actually talked about it on the air. I think I just talked about it with you guys. So the original story was my son's birthday is in August. And in August, he had his first birthday party. He was 8. It was very exciting. And he got a whole bunch of gift cards, which I then found lying around the house all the time. You know, there's a Walmart gift card here and a GameStop gift card here. So finally, by about November, I was fed up and I took all the gift cards. And I used them to buy his Christmas presents.
But you cracked me up. Like, what, was he supposed to take them to the store himself?
Well, no, but he was supposed to keep them in a safe place.
Oh, he was supposed to keep track of them.
Yes, if we are so, you know, he's 8.
Okay.
If you find no value in your $20 gift card, then it's mine. Sorry.
Wow.
So I took them, and I bought his Christmas presents with them. And he never said a word, didn't realize they were gone. Well, guess what? Last week... He wants to know where his gift cards are.
And you say, I don't know, son. You should have taken better care
of
them.
Well, I said, I think they're in one of my, you know, cars, purses.
Oh, you had the guilty look, didn't you?
Well, except that here's the thing. I can't say I used them because Santa Claus brought them as Christmas presents. So I can't. And I still have them. They just don't have any value on them. So I could give them to him. And then maybe when we go to the store and they don't work.
He won't know any
better. I can blame it on the... swipe cards, like, I don't know.
And then you say, okay, well, mommy will pay for this.
I'll just pay for it.
Not working.
Right, exactly. Ooh. I mean, that's the plan right now, unless you guys have a better idea, but hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you want this to be a teachable moment?
That's the thing.
Do you want to say that you were not
It started out as a teachable moment. It's
but
now
I still
gone
can't
awry.
Say I used them, because he'll say, what did you use them on? You know what I mean? And those presents came from Santa. So I have a little, I have a, like a problem
that's
going
when
on
you,
there.
You, do the, you know, you kind of play dumb. I don't know where they are.
Right.
Did you not, you know,
exactly.
You just don't fess up.
But wouldn't that be dishonest?
That's lying.
My goodness.
We have
goodness.
One more minute left. Do you have any Mother of the Month stories? Mother of the Moment? Mother of the Century stories?
None that I guess are popping to my mind right now, Jenny. But
you can, no.
I do have summer camp advice.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
If you're dropping your kids off, get out. Drop them off and leave. It's the kids, the moms or the dads who would come.
That's
and
good
say,
daycare advice, too.
Yeah. You know,
that's
oh,
good
let's
advice overall.
And let's unpack
coaching.
Everything. And then the kid, you know, then those are the kids who start to worry when mom and dad leave and they're stuck at sleepaway camp. If you just go and give them a kiss and get out. Plus, the kids want to have fun. They don't want to spend time with you anyway. It's summer camp.
That's a great tip. Very
and,
good tip.
And if they call you on the second day, don't go pick them up. Wait at least a week.
A week?
Well,
yeah,
no.
That's good.
I've had kids who were crying their eyes out the first hour, but you get them so busy that they can't pay attention to anything going on, and they forget that they're homesick.
And then the other extreme happens when they come to pick them up. They don't want to leave.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's a daycare thing, too.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
They cry in the morning. They cry when you come pick them up.
Well, we are about to wrap up, and we just kind of hope that you've learned something here, and we also hope that your son Ben is not going to listen to this show, Jackie, because then you're just caught.
I'm dead.
You're listening to Because I Said So. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips. I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.